This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, we are doing a vaccine roundup because there have been a lot of updates on that front.
So firstly, reports on queue jumping amid larger concerns about how fast or slow the national vaccine rollout is going. And then after the news, we'll be looking at states procuring their own vaccines and what the AstraZeneca rollout tells us about the larger national program.
So, it is going to be a jam-packed show. Do you have any questions about the vaccine rollout so far, or perhaps thoughts on how it's going? Have you gotten your first jab yet? Call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. All right, it is 6:07 and diving right in. It seems like it's not a single day that goes by without some new headline, some new questions in some cases about the vaccine rollout. And so that's why we're focusing on it today. There's been a glut of stories. I'm just going to give you a small sampling of what has been said. So I think perhaps most, what's the word I'm looking for? Attention-grabbing,
yeah.
Most salacious in some
that
ways,
works.
Have been the allegations of vaccine queue jumping.
Yes, yeah, so just to run through in the last few months, in February, we heard about allegations of queue jumping by aides of politicians and government officials and their families. Mosti Minister Khairi Jamaluddin later clarified that this was due to the confusion around the definition of frontliners, and guidelines were made clearer after that. In April, the National Union of Journalists received a report alleging that a media agency had received the vaccines. In May, an Instagram post alleged that a man in his 20s was receiving the vaccine, and the post said that it was a Pfizer shot. So lots of these stories have been popping up, and Mosti did set up a whistleblowing system. By early March, there were reportedly 200 complaints on that system on queue jumping, and these complaints are investigated by a special committee. And in March, the Health Minister, Dato' Sri Adhan Baba, did say that queue jumpers will be fined up to 50,000 ringgit, jailed for 6 months or both, and that this would come under the emergency ordinance. And I think all of this, the reason it's so frustrating is also because simultaneously our vaccine rollout isn't really going at the pace that people expected it to, people wanted to. We continuously hear of particularly senior citizens who talk about having registered months ago and still waiting for their appointments. So it can be incredibly frustrating to hear about this sort of perceived unfair treatment.
I mean, yes, especially because I think there are many people who are pretty dedicated to doing things correctly, who signed up for the vaccine when it was first made available and then subsequently, you know, bombarded with news every day that the vaccine registration rate is low and we need to pick it up, we need to pick it up. And while simultaneously also hearing, therefore, of, well, wait, you know, I'm in my 80s, I'm in my 70s, I'm in my 90s, why haven't I gotten my call yet? And so all this, while the numbers are rising, I think is leading to an understandable kind of discomfort around the vaccine rollout. And I would like to say that I think that the government is doing a good job of keeping us informed of, for example, when the next batches of vaccines will be available, when what the numbers are looking like, how much what the pickup is of how many vaccines have been administered. All that is well and good. But I think, you know, when you hear news like possible queue jumping and then you're still waiting on your own date and appointment, that can be confusing at best, you know, and very, very frustrating at worst. So that's one thing. And then we also see, of course, the fact that the AstraZeneca voluntary rollout has happened. And even there was confusion too, because at least anecdotally, I've heard so many people saying that they weren't aware that it was happening.
So I had a first-hand experience with that. My Grab driver who took me to get my shot, who was an older gentleman, and he was so he really wanted to get his shot. And he said that he didn't even know that you could volunteer for it. And he kept asking me how he should have found out and so on. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, my driver, or if anyone else is listening, there are going to be a million doses arriving this month. Registrations for those are opening on the 23rd of May at vaccinecovid.gov.my. And it will prioritize those age 60 and above. But which is to say, I think that the other challenge here is now we're also talking about a sort of splitting of how you can get vaccinated. So on the one mm-hmm. hand, you now have the AstraZeneca rollout. We're also hearing now slowly of different states starting their own vaccination drives or ways in which they're going to procure their own vaccines. Selangor has already rolled out one for employers, for instance, which we talked about yesterday. So I think some of this is adding to the confusion. And as you said earlier, that glut of news as well. And I think that it requires some amount of clarification for people to understand how well the drive is going or how not well as it might be.
Yeah. There are more things to cover, which we will cover later on, including states being able to procure their own vaccines. We've heard some rather angry statements going back and forth on that issue today. And so that's something that we're going to be discussing later on. But first up, we're going to be addressing the repercussions of queue jumping and also just in general what we're seeing about the vaccine rollout, how else it could be improved. In the meantime, we also want to know, what are your thoughts? What have your experiences been? Have you gotten your first jab yet? Do you want to share what that was like? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have Perry who's saying, on my way to my first AstraZeneca jab. Go Perry, good luck and take care. But yeah, keep those thoughts coming. And we're going to be speaking after this with Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:15 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about, very broadly, the vaccine rollout in our country, because there's a whole collection and amalgamation of headlines and stories that fall under this category. And I think that there's been a lot of questions around this. And we're hoping to get some answers for you today. So we want to know, do you have questions? And also, do you have thoughts on how it's gone, especially if you've actually been for your first jab? Let us know what that was like. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now joining us to discuss, well, queue jumping as well as the larger vaccine rollout, is Datuk Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician. Dr. Musa, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. So just briefly, there have been reports of queue jumping for the national vaccine rollout and Pfizer vaccine specifically coming up. What do you make of this and what do you think might be causing it?
Thanks, Lynn. When we first launched the vaccine rollout in February, there were many non-frontliners and non-essential services personnel who were queue jumping. These were mainly VVIPs and families of VVIPs. I hope we've seen the end of this. The case of the 20-year-old queue jumping and receiving the Pfizer vaccine is, I hope, an isolated case. This incident, in my opinion, must be investigated, and persons caught facilitating this immoral practice must be dealt with sternly to make it clear to all hospital staff in the vaccine program that we in the hospitals are just, fair, and equitable in our administration of the program. The double standards that we still see in our treatment of politicians and VVIPs who flaunt the SOPs does not have any room in our health professional work culture and ethics. Yes, Lynn.
Dr. Musa, what are the repercussions of queue jumping?
By queue jumping, that 20-year-old man denies the high-risk groups in phase two from getting the vaccine. These are our parents and grandparents, our uncles and aunties who have pre-existing illnesses, example, diabetes, heart disease, the elderly in the nursing homes, and the OKUs, orang kurang terpaya. they are highest at risk of getting severe COVID disease or being hospitalized for COVID or being nursed in the ICU or of dying from COVID. Let me give you a perspective of the risk involved. Your 70-year-old grandfather is 400 times at risk of being hospitalized with COVID compared to you, the 20-year-old young man. Your 70-year-old grandfather is 600 times more likely to die from COVID than you, the 20-year-old young man. So I hope this perspective helps us to understand the sin of jumping queues.
And, you know, we have seen the government urging people who don't have appointments to stay home. And yet we also see that there continue to be people who try their luck. They wait outside the vaccination centres. To add on to what you just said, what message would you have here? And how can we fundamentally address this mindset so people stop doing this?
Yeah, Lynn, this is, in my opinion, a logistical issue. The Ministry of Health needs to make it unequivocal, plain and clear to the public that the ministry will not entertain, nor will they tolerate persons who are not eligible crowding at the vaccination centres. The Pfizer vaccine, by the way, can now be stored in a fridge between 2 and 8 degrees centigrade for 1 month. So, no Pfizer vaccines will ever be wasted once they are removed from the Arctic temperatures of minus 80. And the nurse will only open the Pfizer vaccine when there are 6 people in line for the vaccine. And the Sinovac and AZ vaccine can be stored at the usual 2 to 8 degrees Celsius fridge temperature. Yes, Liz.
Let's look at our vaccine rollout timeline, right? Are we achieving our targeted number of vaccinations per day?
Hi, this is Sharmila, is it?
Yes, it is. That was Sharmila.
Okay. Now, we are now in phase 2 of the vaccine rollout. So we are serving the high-risk groups that I mentioned earlier. This will take us from April to August of this year. The latest data on the immunization rate charts an average of 34,000 doses per day in the past 14 days. Now, if you remember in February, the health minister boasted that by the end of February, 126,000 doses will be administered daily. And the vaccine minister touted 75,000 daily doses. So we are only doing about 27% or 45% of the daily doses as claimed by the two honorable ministers. It's turtle speed. We need warp speed. Malaysia has only immunized 3.6% of our population with one dose of the COVID vaccine. This is 9 times slower than our southern neighbor, Singapore, who have clocked 32.5%. Yes, Sharmila.
So what steps then do we need to do? What steps would you like to see taken to ramp up the speed of vaccination nationally?
Oh, I like this question. Because since early this year, I've made a few suggestions to the Minister of Health and the Jawatan Kuasa Jaminan Akses Vaksin, the Special Committee for COVID Vaccine Supply. One, they must register more vaccines, i.e. the NPRA. Since the MOH is very compliant with the WHO, then they should follow the recommendations of the WHO, which has authorized under emergency use not only the Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccine, but also Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and most recently, the Sinopharm vaccine. The Sinovac vaccine, which has been registered with the NPRA, has yet to be recognized by the WHO. Secondly, the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia, the private hospitals, the GPs, and all the states should be allowed to procure and administer vaccines. They have better and wider experience than the Minister of Health in procuring and administering vaccines. Why we are seeing the mess we are in is because the Ministry of Health has no track record in adult vaccination compared to us in the private healthcare sector. To give you an example, when India first launched its COVID vaccines in the Ministry of Health, they were only able to dish out 300,000 doses per day. When they evolved the private doctors and hospitals, they rammed it seven times at 2 million doses per day. Now, thirdly, the vaccines used will be up and above the vaccine stockpile of the MOH. We are not pinching their supply. With the movement of adults from the public to the private program, more space will be created in the public program. And those at the bottom half of the vaccine hierarchy would advance faster and get an earlier date. The other concern is the fears of creating inequity of vaccine distribution. This is unfounded. If anything, the equity of the vaccine program would be better protected because, for example, the young Muslims planning to perform the Hajj, they do not need to jump the queue. We do not need to push back 30,000 high-risk adults. They can pay for their vaccines at the private facilities. The other groups are the migrant workers and refugees who bear the brunt of inequity, inequitable access to the vaccines. Now, they can be paid for by their employers, by the state government. Yeah. Number six, this program would allow our patients to pick their vaccine of choice. Some prefer the classical inactivated vaccine, Sinopharm, Sinovac. Others who read a lot, right, they may prefer the latest mRNA vaccines, Moderna or Pfizer, which has the widest research base in both clinical trials and real-world experience. Others may just want a single-dose vaccine, like CanSinoBio. And finally, with the restricted and unpredictable vaccine supply chain, I am hopeful that the Ministry of Health will consider delaying the second dose of the COVID vaccine so that more first doses can be given to more people so we achieve herd immunity faster and we mitigate the risk of developing COVID mutants in the community. Yes, Lynn.
So we have a question here from a listener, Kumar, who wants to know, there are new variants coming out so often. Will this require a newly developed vaccine and how long would that procurement take?
Oh, trust me, Kumar. All the vaccines that we have at the present point in time are active against all the variants that you can think of. Yeah. I've actually posted on my Twitter account a chart that shows how effectively the mRNA vaccines, the AZ vaccines, the J&J vaccines, the Novavax vaccines, the seven vaccines that have been trialed are effective against the variants of concern. But yes, the manufacturers are now doing what we call multivalent vaccines to deal with the South Africa strain, the UK strain, the Brazil strain, the Indian strain, yeah? And hopefully that should be rolled out very soon. They are currently being trialed. Thanks, Kumar.
So in terms of outreach for registration, I want to talk a bit about registration now, not just the rollout itself and getting injections into arms. What else can be done to keep communities informed?
Lynn, I think if every member of parliament and every state assembly person organize campaigns in their constituency to enhance registration for vaccines, then much can be achieved. The MPs and ADUN should take this with the same vigor and enthusiasm as they do during elections. Not only that, for those of their constituent members who have registered, they should organize transport for them to the vaccination centers like they do to the polling station. I think this is a good prelude for GE15.
Dr. Musa, just in closing, we have about 2 minutes left. Now, we're hearing news reports of hesitancy among seniors, right? But we also hear that they're concerned that they've registered and haven't heard back about their appointments. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I like this question. I'm also a warga emas, you see, and I have a 92-year-old uncle, the only surviving uncle who's had his Pfizer vaccine, and he's alive and kicking. Let me tell to my parents, to my grandparents, you need to know that you are at high risk for getting severe COVID. This is further exacerbated by the fact that you have other pre-existing illness. Therefore, you are at high risk of being hospitalized or succumbing to COVID. Now, all the vaccines have been tested in clinical trials, and they have been vindicated, validated in the real-world experience. Without exception, all the vaccines protect you from severe COVID, from being hospitalized, or from dying from COVID. This is a remarkable achievement. More than 1 billion doses have been administered. So, uncles and aunties, you are not guinea pigs. Yeah? Do not listen to the nonsense, the fake news, the conspiracy theories that is roaring in social media. If you have any doubts, any concerns, discuss with your family doctor. Like me, he has had his vaccine and he will clear your doubts and anxiety. If you have registered, you will soon get your notification. The MOH is doing another opt-in, and I totally agree that elders above 60 should be a priority. So, if you, uncle or auntie, do not have a date yet, opt-in for the AZAC vaccine. Yeah? Because the risk of blood loss is, the risk of blood clots with the AZAC vaccine is the least in the senior citizen. And the benefits, trust me, are phenomenal. Thank you, Shamila.
Dr. Musa, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician, talking to us today about, first, briefly, queue jumping and why none of us should do it. I can't emphasize that enough. Do not do it. And also, more broadly, on the speed of the vaccine rollout, what else we need to do to improve matters on that front. We've been asking you for your thoughts, your questions, especially if you have taken your first jab, what that's been like for you. Call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. We'll be back. This is Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are spending our hour talking about vaccines and the latest updates surrounding them, including queue jumping, AstraZeneca being available for a second registration, which is opening, as well as more broadly, I think, what all this says about the vaccine rollout nationally or PIC. We've been asking you for your thoughts and experiences, especially because I think now a fair number of people, particularly in the Klang Valley with the opt-in, may have gotten their first jabs already. And if you have thoughts, questions, experiences, send them our way. We have messages.
So a nice mix of experiences, really, and thoughts. Jessica says, I've already waited 3 full weeks, no appointment on my vaccination yet. And I think that's a frustration I'm actually hearing from a lot of people, and even people who think that by now they should have, especially because they are in that phase, the senior citizen phase.
We also have Victor, who says, jumping is so ingrained in Malaysian culture. Queue jumping for pre-sales, frogs jumping from parties to from one political party to another, to now queue jumping for vaccinations. What's new? And Victor, I mean, I hear you. I think that that's definitely a problem with the Malaysian mindset. And I think part of why we wanted to talk about it is because what's new in this situation is that it involves people's lives and health. And I think if you are thinking about queue jumping, you really need to ask yourself, why you're so important. I'm sorry. I know that's rude, but I really think it's an important question that we should all be asking.
What puts you above everyone else, really, is the question to ask.
Right.
On the note of AstraZeneca, though, which of course is the other way that you can get your vaccine done, which is to volunteer for it, Zhu Yang says, got my first jab on Monday at UM and was scheduled for 11 a.m, but I reached at 9:30 in case of anything. I was allowed to take it early and the whole process was settled quickly, including taking pictures with the I got vaccinated cutout. I left UM within 30 minutes of reaching there. Good job, UM team.
Wow, 30 minutes is a really speedy one. I think most, including myself, in and out in about an hour, and everything was very smooth. I have to say that I felt so intensely grateful for the frontliners who are taking the time to do this, because it is an all-day job and it's just so many people.
Absolutely. I think that whatever you want to say about the rollout, the frontliners manning the stations are really giving it their all. Winks has three things to raise. They say, may I suggest that there should be an option for the rakyat to pay for the vaccine? I'm sure some of us won't mind helping the government defray the vaccine cost, crowdfunding for the vaccine initiative. Number two, now that clinics have been appointed to administer the vaccine, where can I refer to that list? And number three, name, shame and punish queue jumpers. Do it. Yeah, I just wanted to answer on that note of clinics. I wanted to point out that actually clinics have been appointed as official vaccination centers. They're not places that you can go to privately get your vaccines done. And you can access that list on vaccinecovid.gov.my. That's V-A-K-S-I-N, COVID.
April is saying, I know quite a number of young people getting Pfizer for many reasons. Some walking in and getting the jab because people with appointments failed to turn up. Some were extended for being family members of medical frontliners. And to that also, we actually have a tweet from Syed Zulkarnain who says, do note that phase three has started. You know, the vaccination phase three, that is. My nieces have received their dates. So there is an overlap between phase two and three.
Yes, and I think actually this thing of people being able to walk in is what I think has caused that confusion of people turning up, thinking that they would be able to get those vaccines, right? I wanted to read this from Rosalind, just because it's nice to hear of older people getting their shots. Rosalind said, I'm 62. I had my first AstraZeneca shot on Monday at WTC. All's good so far, except for a slight fever and a sore jab site. Paracetamol normalized fast. I understand the team problems with crowd control, but overall very impressed and grateful to all involved, from the armed forces at the roadside to the medical personnel downstairs to upstairs, making the process as smooth and fast for everyone. Thank you, KKM, for giving us a chance to be vaccinated ASAP. Well done.
Rosalind, you and I were vaccine buddies. We got vaccinated on the same day. And yeah, I had that same experience. I also have to say that my father, my 71-year-old father, got vaccinated and has had no noticeable side effect except seemingly more energy and a better appetite, while the younger people in this household have suffered a bit more. So just to say, it's kind of uneven. Who knows?
I was one of those who had hunger pangs for days after I got vaccinated. And weirdly enough, this is something many people on Twitter have been talking about. So maybe we're collectively just a hungry nation of people.
So let us know, what are your thoughts, questions, experiences around the vaccine rollout? You know, have you received your first jab? What was that like? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we are going to be talking about a bunch of issues. So the procurement process for vaccines, because now that's opening up to states. It's also going to, companies will be able to purchase vaccines. So we just want to talk about what that's going to be like, as well as AstraZeneca, you know, and what the rollout might mean for PIC on a larger level. Keep those thoughts coming and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:45 on the dot, and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. As we've been saying, we're talking about vaccines this hour. Earlier on, we talked about the speed of the national rollout and how that's going. Now we want to look at smaller but no less important issues. So, for example, states being able to procure their own vaccines. For yesterday, the minister in charge of vaccines, Khairi Jamaluddin, said that state governments will be allowed to purchase their own vaccines, but they must be approved by the NPRA, the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency, and the existing agreements state that manufacturers will prioritize federal government's orders before supplying to other parties, which of course includes state governments.
So we've, I think so far, had two distinct cases emerging, right? So Selangor has announced that they've procured vaccines and they're going to be selling them to private companies to vaccinate their employees. And that's started. People can already start signing up on the Selangor app. In contrast, we had a bit of a controversy, kerfuffle sort of emerging out of Penang when they essentially claimed that the federal government was blocking them from being able to accept a 2 million dose donation of vaccines. However, Kyrie has come out to say now that that has turned out to be not quite accurate, and the person that offered to donate, or rather the party that offered to donate these vaccines, are apparently not quite legit.
Doesn't exist, seems to be what the minister has been saying. I think that, but I do think that this controversy or the attention that it garnered also speaks to and the level of interest and the level of intense interest in some cases from states to be able to supply vaccines to their people, right? Politics aside, I do think that that is a huge concern for many, including states like Sabah and Sarawak that have those worrying statistics and the issues of difficulty accessing healthcare. So I think there is it's a good move to allow states to procure vaccines, but we want to talk about that process. So we are going to be crossing over now to Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO at the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Azrul, always good to have you on with us. So let's start with what the procurement process of vaccines is like for Malaysia.
So as far as we are aware, the procurement of COVID-19 vaccines has been different from the very beginning. The government has dealt directly with the multinational pharmaceutical companies which manufacture the vaccines, such as Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Sinovac. The AstraZeneca direct order was also supplemented by Malaysia's participation in the United Nations-backed COVAX initiative, which also supplies the same vaccine. In these direct orders, there have been no middlemen or tender agencies involved, as is usually the case in these sort of procurements. It is actually the model of how, especially us over here at the Galen Centre, would like to see pharmaceutical procurement to be in this country, where there are few opportunities for leakages or agent commissions, simply for being a Bumiputra company acting on behalf of the actual company manufacturing or supplying the medicines. We are hoping that perhaps later on, after this crisis has abated somewhat, that it is possible for this approach that the government is using right now to go directly to these pharmaceutical companies to do business to be applied to other aspects of the healthcare procurement system for goods and services.
So what are the agencies that have to approve the purchase of these vaccines?
Once the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency, or NPRA, has approved the use of these vaccines in Malaysia, it is theoretically a straightforward process for a company to import them into the country for distribution. So we have a piece of legislation called the Control of Drugs and Cosmetics Regulations of 1984, which states that any company that wants to manufacture, import, or wholesale any registered products needs to have a manufacturer's license, import license, or wholesale license to do so. So obviously, in this case, you need to have an import license, which is issued by the Drug Control Authority, which is under the Ministry of Health. So nothing currently prevents anyone from being a distributor for vaccines, but in the case of COVID-19 vaccines, it would likely also require a green light from the Special Committee on COVID-19 Vaccine Supply, the JKJAV, and the COVID-19 Immunization Task Force, or CITF.
So as we've been discussing, we're seeing state governments now getting into vaccine procurement. What might be the challenges when it comes to buying their own supply of vaccines?
Well, the challenge for state governments would very likely be the same as for the private sector players who are trying to argue for a private option to the government's PIC program. Securing the supply of vaccines from reputable SAH or SAHIR distributors. You know, we've seen the proliferation of companies which have declared themselves as so-called exclusive distributors for various vaccines, both already approved and those not yet approved. So unfortunately, there are many vultures and scam artists out there who are looking to take advantage of the situation. I mean, we just saw that happen to Penang recently. The best approach really is to go directly to the manufacturers for your order.
So what are the concerns that might emerge from having more vaccine purchases in the market?
Well, you know, having more sources supplying vaccines into the market, especially for more people to get vaccinated, is potentially beneficial, as it has the opportunity to accelerate vaccination rates and may protect more people and complement the government's vaccination program, it potentially has a positive effect to the national vaccination effort. However, we have to remember that, you know, vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines, of finite quantity, and dozens of countries are seeking, as we speak, to secure their own share of vaccines. So there's an intense competition for the different types of vaccines that are available out there. So whether we are able to actually get quality and safe vaccines here is the priority. It's going to be the task of everybody involved to differentiate between which ones are the genuine article, which ones are the ones who are actually possessing quality and safe vaccines versus those who don't. Don't forget that we have started to see already in other countries the emergence of black markets and also counterfeit vaccines that are taking advantage of desperate governments and private sector players who are wanting to protect their workers, who are trying to protect their citizens. And, you know, it does require a certain amount of due diligence that we need to ensure that what we are purchasing is actually going to be able to help and not harm the people who are going to receive these vaccines.
So private hospitals are also interested in purchasing their own vaccines. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, I think it is a great idea for private hospitals purchasing and selling their own vaccines, especially if it involves vaccines that are not under the national program, such as Moderna. However, this will actually require for the vaccine manufacturer to actually submit their dossier of the vaccine first to NPRA and get that approved, which will take time before they can actually purchase and use these vaccines. However, if they were to use the same vaccines that are already being used by PIC, it will always be, this, their order will always be disadvantaged by the fact that the government's order will always take precedence.
So let's shift the attention now to the AstraZeneca rollout, right? How would you evaluate the performance of this first round of that stream? Would you say it's been successful?
I think it's been rather successful. In all fairness, the main vaccination stream and the AstraZeneca opt-in stream, both of which are under PIC, have been implemented professionally and efficiently by the health personnel, the Ministry of Health, volunteers, JKJV and CITF. The AstraZeneca process has been getting a lot of visibility and credit, you know, especially since everyone and their grandma literally sharing their experiences of getting vaccinated on social media. But actually, the main vaccination stream has been quietly and effectively vaccinating hundreds and thousands of people.
So let's also look then at the mainstream of PIC. How well would you say the phased vaccine rollout has been doing? Can you give us a better picture?
Well, there has been a lot of criticism, less about how the actual conditions of the vaccination centres have been in the specific locations, but more about how slow the vaccination rollout has been. I mean, it could definitely be better than what we're seeing right now. In fact, I rather hope that we would be talking about 125,000 people vaccinated a day by now. But the reality is that how far along we are in the current vaccination effort, it really is determined by the supply of vaccines that we're able to receive. Now, the main problem that is being faced by most countries at the moment, including countries like Singapore, which put in their order much, much earlier than Malaysia did, is the reliability, predictability, and consistency of the vaccine supply. So you may have ordered, but not necessarily received the order. You know, this is not an issue of Shopee or Lazada. This is really delayed, you know, months delayed in terms of being able to receive what you've ordered. So the pace of the vaccination effort, and this goes actually for both the main stream as well as the AstraZeneca opt-in stream, is dictated by the availability of vaccine supply.
Azrul, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO at the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, talking to us about the process of vaccine procurement. Now that states, private hospitals will be allowed to buy their own vaccines, companies too, and also just about the AstraZeneca rollout and how that impacts or feeds into the national phased rollout that we've been seeing otherwise. Just to say that there is going to be a second registration going to be made available for AstraZeneca that's going to kick off on May 23rd. You can find that. You can book your spot on vaccinecovid.gov.my. That's vaccine, V-A-K-S-I-N. When you get on the landing page, there will be a button to click on that will bring you to the booking page. You can also register through community outreach at district health offices in Klang Valley, Penang, Sarawak, and Johor. Between the 23rd to the 26th of May, people who are above the age of 60 will be prioritized. And then after that, access slots will be given to the general public as well as those who are on the waiting list for the first round from the 26th onwards. So again, that's vaccinecovid.gov.my, May 23rd onwards. And now to the messages.
So we have, let's see, we have Joe Sun saying, selfish young Malaysians not letting those more vulnerable seniors to get vaccinated first, even though our country is having limited vaccines. These selfish young Malaysians are competing for vaccines against seniors and those with health problems.
Yeah, I think that there's really no other way to look at this, unless you have a very good reason for getting vaccinated, in which case you would have been expedited anyway, right? If you fell within those earlier categories. We do also have, Subra suggesting that other vaccines approved by WHO perhaps should be approved by the NPRA, which would allow states to purchase vaccines and not compete with the central government.
Yeah, I think this is something that we've been hearing more quarters talking about, particularly as this notion of decentralizing the vaccination effort is happening.
Mm. And we have a question here from SK. And SK, I'm not sure that we will be able to assist, but I wanted to read it because I think it's such an interesting and an important point of view, right? So SK says, my mom's vaccine appointment was scheduled on the 21st of May and she passed away on the 17th of March. How do I cancel that appointment or can I substitute by taking the vaccination on the scheduled day? I registered as an OKU in my Sejahtera, please advise. SK, I think the right people to call will definitely be JKJV. They will be the people who can help direct you. And that number is 1-800-888-828. And if you can't get through, please get back to us and we'll do our best to connect you to the people that you need to get connected to. But our condolences.
Yeah, that sounds like a tough situation, really. And I don't know. I think this question of rescheduling your dates is one that I've had many people have issues with because they've tried to do it on the My Sejahtera app. And they often say they don't hear back from people.
Yeah. So, like I said, if we can find out how to do that, how to schedule, reschedule, etc., cancel, we will get back to you. For now, we were looking it up and we couldn't find anything. But again, that number, if you have questions, is 1-800-888-828. And that should get you through to somebody at JKJAV. And that is it for now. But keep those thoughts coming. We've been talking about vaccines on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.